Well, to turn to Nahum, the second chapter and the first verse, I believe, is what I want. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. Now we're talking about keeping, and particularly keeping the things that God has given unto us. God wants you and me to value the things that He gives us. Somebody mentioned one time about giving a quilt that they'd made to someone. And they went to these people's house and found the quilt out in the garage and the dog on it. They said, "I'm not going to make them any more quilts." Well, they didn't value a gift that someone had gone to effort to provide for them. And the things that God has given to us, He's gone to great expense and great effort to provide them for us. And when He finds us sitting light by them and just not valuing them very highly, and letting them slip away from us and us messing out on them and not caring too much, He doesn't like that. Could be that if He had it all to do over again, He wouldn't go to all that expense and provide all of that for us. If we set light by it. But He said, keep the munition. He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. That's the devil. We all have to deal with the devil. And one of the chief tactics of the devil is to cool off our affection and our zeal for God and the things of God. If he can do that, he's pretty well got us going his way. We're instructed in the sixth chapter of Hebrews to keep the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Same diligence. Now that doesn't mean you showing the same diligence that I show, and me showing the same diligence that someone else shows, but us maintaining the same diligence that we started out with. He said, ye are made partakers of Christ if you hold fast the beginning of your confidence, steadfast unto the end. Maintain our first love like we started out with it. Maintain our zeal just like we started out with it. Show forth the same diligence. Not comparing me with you, but me with me. And I show forth the same diligence that I started out with to the full assurance of hope unto the end. In the second chapter of John, the first epistle of John, verse 24, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye heard from the beginning." If that will abide in you, which ye heard from the beginning, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now that's important. The beginning. What we had in the beginning. Let that abide in you which ye heard from the beginning. Now there's a tendency in people. They come into a movement, the saints or some other movement, somewhere down the line. Well, if that movement is drifting, then they look back and they say, "We want the old time truth." After they've gone along with a movement that's drifting for a while, we want the old time truth. But the old time truth to them is what they were hearing when they met that movement. They don't stop to consider maybe that movement had been drifting for years before they ever got in it, just like it has since they got in it. And that it wasn't the old time truth they had when they got in it. But he said, "That which ye have heard from the beginning," and in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, in the first verse, Mark opens up with this statement, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the gospel. That's where we want to go back to, not to somewhere along the line that we kind of got into something. And maybe it's drifted from that, and maybe it had drifted a long way back here before I ever met it, but go back to God's Word. The beginning of the gospel of the Son of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now God has given us His Word, and He instructs us to go to that, be guided by that. Let that be the man of our counsel, and to set our course in life. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, when John wrote that, he was writing about something that he said, "We have seen it, and we have handled it, of the word of truth." He was right among them, and they were right in contact with him. We're farther from that time now, but we must still go back to the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and plant our feet there and build our faith there and our experience there, what was delivered to us by Jesus Christ and His apostles in the very beginning. Now he said, "Keep the munitions." Now munition is defined as whatever materials are used in war. Weapons of all kinds and their ammunition, military and naval stores of all kinds, including provisions for the sustenance of men and horses. That's munitions. Now that's the kind they had in those days. But God has given unto you and me some munitions also. And the things that God has delivered to us, they are materials of war. Just like those things that they had back there. Now he that dashes in pieces has come up before your face. Now the thing that he was talking about there may have been Nineveh. That was one of the prominent powers of that day. May have been Nineveh or some other king or ruler or people that was out to destroy and to conquer. But whatever it was, they were instructed to keep the munitions and see that they had munitions on hand to meet this enemy and to meet him successfully. Now I want to look at our munitions that God has given unto us in our day, and he that dasheth in pieces, that's the devil himself, he has come up against us. Now he said, finally, my brethren, this is the sixth chapter of Ephesians, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Armor now pertains to a soldier. And it's connected with war. And we're in a war. I listened to a tape of a message by Brother Peoples that was preached back at Monarch Springs. And the theme of his message was, we're in a fight. And you've got to fight. The enemy is up there to knock you out, and he's up there to destroy you, and you've got to fight. Yes. If you maintain any position with the Lord, he just kept bearing down on that, and it bore bearing down on, and it still bears some bearing down on. You've got to fight. Yes. Paul exhorted Timothy, says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And he also said to Timothy that those things that went before on you, that you might war a good warfare. We're in a warfare. And we have to have some munitions to successfully wage this warfare. And he said here, put on the whole armor of God. And when God saved you and me, he equipped us with sufficient armor to meet the devil. Yes. We have it. Now he said, keep it. Keep the munitions. Don't let any of this get away from you. If some part of our armor be wanting, that's where the enemy will come in. He knows the points that we are weak on and that we're lacking in defense on. That's where he'll come. But God has furnished you and me with sufficient armor to meet him on every line. On any line. Now he says, keep it. Keep the munitions. And those things that he has given us to equip us for warfare. Paul wrote about his desire to please him who had called him to be a soldier. In other words, his desire and ambition was to be a good soldier. My son had to go into the army for on the 2-year military training program. Well, he went in in a buck private and he came out a buck private. He just didn't soldier at all. And he never gained any rank or made any progress. He didn't like it. And he just didn't soldier. Well, we went up to Fort Ord where they were mustering out up there, and we had to wait a while. They had a mustering out ceremonies and speech, and somebody was trying to get the boys to see the glory side and re-enlist. Go into the army, even make a career of it. Well, didn't come out when he's over and says, they're just wasting their time on me. He said, I'm not going back in there. He didn't like it, and he didn't soldier at all. But God had called Paul to a warfare. And he expressed his desire and ambition to be a good soldier. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. Now there's reward when you please your officers. In the army there's some reward. There's some advancement. And Paul says, I'm after that advancement. I want to please him who's called me to be a soldier. I want to be a good soldier. Amen. God help us. We'll realize we're in a warfare and we want to make a good success of our warfare. And God has supplied us with all of the necessary things and a complete armor, no part lacking. Now let us realize that God knows the devil. He knows him in and out and all of his tactics and all of his devices and just how he works. And he has provided an armor that'll meet him on every line, all of his devices and tactics. Keep it now, he said. Keep the munitions. Hold on to it. Don't let any part of it slip. If you do, that's where you'll be attacked and that's where you'll be beat down. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now the God that we serve knows those wiles. We don't know all of them. We learn them as we go along and have experiences with the devil and with his temptations and with his powers and the powers of darkness. We learn some of those things as we go along, but we don't know them all yet. We still have some things to learn. But God knows them all, and he has fortified us against them all if we'll just hold on to everything that he has given us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. I hope we'll all get this idea. I earnestly desire that every saint will get the idea that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. When you can get the flesh and blood out of it, you can handle people, deal with people, think toward people, feel toward people, have attitudes toward people that we should have as people. Amen. When we can get the flesh and blood out of it. Paul says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Don't know Jesus after the flesh. Don't know anybody after the flesh. And we can just get the flesh out of it. Then we can have a proper attitude toward everybody. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Let's quit wrestling against flesh and blood. Let's quit striving one with another. And all of us strive against the enemy of our souls and present a solid front to him. Amen. Standing together, shoulder to shoulder, and present a solid front to the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to know what we're up against, and when we do comprehend what we're up against, flesh and blood will just melt out of it. Striving with one another will be dismissed from our minds and set aside from all our activities when we realize what we're all up against. And wherever one up against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places, you're up against it the same as I am, me the same as you. And if we take time out to slug with one another a little bit, these powers will come in on us and destroy us both. Amen. Isn't that what God's Word said? James said, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And that's just exactly what people are doing when they're biting and devouring and criticizing and fighting against flesh and blood and striving against one another. They're just winding up, both of them being destroyed. I've seen this for quite a little while, that sometimes people, I've seen this now, I hope I don't see it anymore, but I have seen it, that somebody sets out to kill somebody, and they're full of criticism and backbiting and fault finding and all are out to kill somebody, kill their influence, and kill their reputation. Maybe they succeed in doing it. I've seen them succeed in doing it. But actually, by the time they get that fella killed, they're dead too. But they don't know it. They go about saying, I put that fella in his place. I straightened out things there. But they're dead too. Destroyed themselves in the effort to destroy somebody else. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And we shouldn't see one another as flesh and blood. Amen. Brother Trimble used to bear down on the point and teach us, until you learn to draw a line of separation between the sinner and his sins, you're never going to gain the sinner. You're never going to be much help to him if you can't separate him from his sins in your dealings with him. Amen. We resent sin, we wind up resenting the sinner too. And then we can't be any help to him. Now he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Folks, we need it all. We need to be saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, equipped and qualified to meet our problems in life and go out against the enemy of our souls and hit him again. Mr. Roosevelt, on the 8th of December in 1941, maybe it was, or 43, the next day after the Pearl Harbor attack by Japan, he appeared, before a joint session of Congress, made a speech to them, reiterated the maneuvers that had been carried out and the efforts that had been put forth through diplomatic channels to settle the disputes between the United States and Japan. But he said, that's at an end now. I said, there's no honorable course left to us now but to fight. And said, from henceforth we'll pursue our enemies to the far-flung corners of the earth and hit him and hit him again in the place that it'll hurt him the most. Well, that's a president's declaration of war. And we don't glory in that, but I say that's a good position and attitude for you and me to stand in regard to the devil and the things that he's done to us and the things that he's doing to our loved ones in destroying them and the people of this world is to attack and pursue and hit him again in the place that will hurt him the most. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Folks, it's necessary that you and I stand our ground. When the enemy comes in like a flood and would sweep us off of our feet, stand. When you can't do anything else, stand. Stand on what you believe. Stand in your faith in Jesus Christ. Stand fast in His gospel and in His word. Having done all to stand. We need to realize that we're up to date with God. We need to know the ground that we stand on. Elijah stood before King Ahab and was able to pronounce judgment on him and on the land of Israel because he knew the ground he stood on. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He knew exactly where he stood. And therefore he could pronounce strong judgment on Ahab and the whole land of Israel. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, it's not going to rain any more in this land till I say for it to. I'm going to run the weather here for a while. Pretty bold, isn't it? That's pretty bold. But he knew where he stood. You can be bold when you know where you stand. In that message that I listened to that Brother Peebles preached, he was talking about the devil and he said the devil was pointing out things to him 2 or 3 years down the line. I'll meet you down there. All right, devil, I'll be there. I'll meet you down there. Well, 5 years. All right, I'll still be there. 10 years. He says, why don't you make it 50? Yeah. Said, Jesus Christ will still be around 50 years from now. And he was just standing up against the devil and his bugaboos and all of his accusations. Just whatever you want now, I just come on. Because Jesus Christ and me are going to be there. And we'll meet you there. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Folks, God has delivered to us truth. That's a part of our armor. That's the girding about of the loins. And if you and I will just stand firm in the truth, the victory's ours. Amen. Truth always conquers. Yes. truth, somebody said, crushed to earth will rise again.
Amen.
It'll be resurrected. Truth is the thing that we stand upon, that we believe in. Back to the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Back to what God delivered. Jesus said, thy word is truth. Go to the word and you'll have the truth. Don't go to what this preacher or that preacher said. Or like it was when you got in the movement. Or whatever. Go to the word and you'll have the truth. That's where it is. Back to the Word and checking everything with the Word. And He's girt us about with truth because we're in the midst of a world of deception. Deception's on every hand. God said, Jesus said that the devil would deceive the very elect if it were possible. He's not going to let you and me alone. He's not going to pass us up because we're saved. He's going to try to deceive us. And He said, have your loins girt about with truth and keep it. Keep the munitions. Hold the truth. Value the truth. Count that the most important thing in your code of faith is the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is a protection for the vital parts up here. And God has provided us with an armor that contains a breastplate of righteousness. You can stand if you know you're right. God will back you up in it if you're right. God's not going to support us in anything wrong, but He'll back us up to the limit if we're right. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, the fiery darts of accusation, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, says he accuses us before God day and night, and it's no wonder if he accuses us before God day and night, if he accuses us in our own conscience, that'd be no wonder. He's an accuser of the brethren, but just stand fast and right. I remember a little piece I said, and I guess it's the first little piece I ever said, in school. A school program, and I was a little fella, maybe in the first grade. I don't think they had kindergarten back in those days, but I was right along in that category. I remember I got there a little bit late, and the house was jammed, and I couldn't get up through there, and they picked me up and passed me over the heads to get me down to the front. And I got down there, and I remember my little piece said, be sure you're right. And then go ahead. And when you're sleepy, run straight off to bed. And I ran off the stage when I said that. But the main point, and that and I still say that. I said that the first little speech I ever made, and I still say it. Be sure you're right, and then go ahead. Stand right by the right. And all the fiery darts and all the accusations and everything that the enemy can bring against you and all the criticisms and all the fault findings and everything that people can come against you with, you can just stand right up there if you know you're right. And triumph. Just know you're right. The breastplate of righteousness, right inside and out, right in your heart and right in your attitudes and right in your feelings and right in your dispositions and right in your doings, in your behavior, in your conduct. Just right, the breastplate of righteousness. And all of the accusations and fault findings and criticisms and everything will just bounce off if you're just right, all the way right. When we have on this armor of God, we can stand against the devil. Keep the munitions. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, if you're going to tread a thorny path, you need some shoes on. Need something on your feet. I guess everybody likes to go barefooted. Children, they just long for the first day that their mother will let them out without any shoes on. They think that's a great day in the spring. They want to go barefooted. Big children, too. They want to go barefooted. But if you're going to walk a thorny path, you don't want to be barefooted. The Bible has a lot to say about your feet. And feet are symbolic of a way of life, a walk. That's the way you're walking. Job said, if my heart has walked, his heart did some walking. It's a means of motivation. Carrying forward, getting someplace. And there's much said about feet. Ponder the path of your feet, the proverb said. And let all your ways be established. Your feet need some preparation. You're going to tread a thorny path. It isn't all going to be roses. The roses have thorns. We may have roses all along the way in our lives, but the roses have thorns and we'll have to walk on them. And we need the preparation of the gospel of peace on our feet. That we can withstand whatever there is. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Now the breastplate is a protection for the front. The shield is a protection side, front, wherever. You wear the shield on your arm like that and you can move it about from place to place. Whichever way the darts are coming, it can move the shield to that position. The breastplate is a permanent attachment. You can't keep moving it around. So he provided us with a shield that we could move around from side to side and in front and all around, whichever way the attack is coming from and the fiery darts are flying, we can ward them off. He said, the shield of faith whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. There's a song, if I can get it in my mind, it says something about, oh, the fiery darts are flying thick and fast. And they will at times, but we have a shield of faith to ward them off with if our faith holds. We want to see to it that our faith does hold. And the faith that God has given us, keep it at all costs. Don't let it slip from us. Don't let our faith diminish. Let us have a faith that groweth exceedingly, as Paul wrote to one of the churches that he wrote to. He said, I rejoice that I hear that your faith groweth exceedingly. A growing and an increasing faith. And I can stand against things I used to couldn't stand against. Now people that are going backward Sometimes they can't stand against what they used to stand against. But as our faith increases, we can stand against what we used to not be able to stand against.
Amen.
The faith that quenches the fiery darts of the wicked, he says, now hold it, keep it. Keep the faith as God has given it to us. Saving faith is a gift of God. Keeping faith is a gift of God. Fighting faith is a gift of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. But it's all a gift of God, and he's given it to us, and he said, now you value it and keep it. I remember a text that speaks of the obedience of faith. When we have the testimony of our own conscience that we have been obedient, it's easier to exercise faith when we're attacked by the enemy. But if we just haven't been as obedient as we should, and we begin to kind of wonder in the severe temptation and trial, I wonder how God's thinking about me right now. I haven't just been up to date with him, and I haven't kept up on my Christian duties, and I haven't read his word like I should, and I haven't prayed like I should, and I haven't attended services like I should, and I haven't carried out the duties of the gospel like I should. I wonder just how the Lord's going to think of me now. Whether he's going to hear my prayer or not. The Bible said in the 59th chapter of Isaiah that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard against him. And we can count on that being true if our faith holds. If we're keeping the faith. If we're up to date with God. Then the enemy can come in as hard as he pleases, and just like a roaring flood coming in against us, he can come in whatever way he chooses, but faith just stands right up there, and God lifts up a standard against him in answer to our faith, a response to our faith. Shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Helmet is a protection for the head. And we need a protection for our head. I remember reading about Brother William G. Shell. And he had a dream one time. And in his dream, he had been bitten by a venomous viper. And the poison was going through his body, and his body was swelling up. And there was several of the brethren around him that were working with him. And all, and he heard someone of them say, I think he'll be all right if we can just keep his head from swelling. Well, Brother Shell was in the pulpit preaching one day, so the story goes, and someone came in with him to him with a telegram for him. And he took the telegram and read it. And it said, Brother Warner just passed away, and you're to preach his funeral. And Brother Shell's head swelled over that, being called to preach Brother Warner's funeral. God's people are to be of a lowly mind. We need a protection for our head. And that's where we get assailed with all of the turmoil that's going on around us all the time, and all the deceptions and everything that's flying through the air and being preached from many of the pulpits around the country and all. We need a protection for our head to keep our thinking straight and to keep on course. The helmet of salvation, God provided us with that to hold us right in our thinking, to help us to think as we should. The whole world's lost in sin tonight because they're not thinking right. And I pray many times for people when I'm praying for their salvation, that God would break through upon them and unscramble their thoughts and straighten out their minds and turn their thoughts in another channel, that they can get to thinking like they ought to think.
Amen.
Well, when God does that for us, He wants us to keep ourselves straight in our thinking. And to not get to wondering about this or that, or whether this is right, or whether that's right, or maybe this sounds pretty reasonable, maybe there is something to that. Just don't give anything a second thought that isn't what you heard from the beginning. Just go back to the beginning. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and check everything with that. Right back to the Word. And don't give a second thought to anything that doesn't jibe with the Word.
Amen.
Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Now, this is the only offensive weapon He has given us. The sword of the Spirit and all prayer. Now, we can invade the enemy's territory by all prayer. And the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon. And He's provided us with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Just take the Word of God against the enemy. He can't stand that. When Jesus used the Word of God on him, he just went on away. He couldn't handle the Word of God. He come back and tried some Word of God himself after that, but Jesus had some Word of God to balance up what he was saying, and so he went away again. Just use the Word of God on him. God's Word says so and so, and that's what I'm standing on. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me. And for me too. Paul says, and for me, and I say, and for me, Austin Wilson, that you help me with your prayers. And God said, keep this. All that I've given you, all that I've delivered to you, you need it. So guard it with your life and keep it diligently. God has given us everything that we need. And it's our fault if we lay down any of our armor. Or if we lose anything that we started out with, that's our fault. Keep this that I've committed to you against that day. Amen.